SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS News.
The housing crisis has seen people finding it increasingly hard to rent or buy a house in Australia's capital cities. But while most of the country has seen prices going up, there's one place where prices have gone down, and that's Melbourne, where rental prices have gone down almost 2% year on year. SBS's Cameron Carr spoke to Dr. Nicola Powell from Domain to find out what's driving down prices.
There's one dimension that Melbourne has had. We know that the property market overall has been subdued compared to other capital cities. And one of the dimensions has been that that's really benefited first-time buyers. And when we look at the share of housing finance based upon buyer segment, first-time buyers have been the one that has been leading in terms of, or one of the leading states in terms of a proportion of first-time buyer financing. And I think that what that has done is obviously help people transition away from the rental market and into, owning their first home. And so I think what that has done is created less demand on the demand side. But then overall, when you look at Melbourne's vacancy rate, the vacancy rate I know for Melbourne was the highest out of all of our major capital cities. Yeah, so it's 1.6. Supply has been a bit better in Melbourne compared to other capital cities. It's still technically a landlord's market, but isn't far away from being balanced, and that vacancy rate needs to be above 2% to be between 2 and 3% to be balanced. So I think supply choice has been much better for tenants. And that, what that means from an asking rent perspective is landlords are having to be much more realistic on the price point they place on their home.
It might be too early to say, but is this sort of a trend that could sort of continue for Melbourne? Should there, continue to be, supply starting to outstrip demand? Like, could we see further decreases?
It was seeing a decline, and it over like a quarter. And the most recent quarter for house rents actually stabilized, and that is a stabilization after a period of earlier declines. But what that means is the annual change is still in the negative. And look, this is the other headline for Melbourne. Melbourne is the cheapest capital city which to rent a house, and that is because we've seen rents rise at faster paces in other capital cities relative to Melbourne. So, look, I do think that probably what we are seeing for Melbourne is it is kind of finding a floor. I think that what the outlook is likely to be is probably a period of stability rather than seeing any steep declines or we're certainly not seeing any indication that we're going to see rents suddenly start to accelerate in price.
Mm. And do we have an idea of whether there's also, because you mentioned there's seems to be more people becoming first home buyers and exiting the rental market. Is there an idea of what this might be looking for people who are looking to sort of, I suppose, become investors and investing in the rental market?
Look, the investment outlook for Melbourne has been an interesting one in recent years. So we saw, I can't remember the precise date, but we saw taxational changes.
Yes.
Ultimately, what that meant for landlords in Victoria is the holding costs were higher because taxational rates on investment properties were higher. What that did is it actually meant that we saw investors offloading their properties, and we saw investors shying away from investing in Victoria. And even now today, when we look at the proportion of investment activity in Victoria compared to all of the other states and territories, it is one of the lowest. So to give you an example, it's sitting at just under 34% of loans being financed are to investors. When you compare it to New South Wales, New South Wales sits at 46%. So you can see there's a vast difference in participation rates from investors. But the thing with Melbourne is property prices to purchase have been subdued, and there is this dynamic that value has built up over time. And I think investors are starting to see that. We're just starting to see investors coming back into the Melbourne housing market. And that is because investors chase capital growth. They go to those markets that they think provide value and have the potential to rise in price. So we have actually started to see a bit more investment activity coming into Melbourne. When you look at Victoria overall, we know that one of the pain points for Victoria has been weaker dynamics in terms of population. But by FY27, Victoria is forecast to become the fastest growing state in terms of population growth. And I think these are the types of things that investors look towards to really help them guide their investment strategy, because it's not necessarily gross yield. Obviously, you know, you need the cash flow. It's not necessarily gross yields that are the defining factor. It's the value and the capital growth, that equity growth that they get within that property that many investors chase.
And just looking at the report more broadly, I suppose, what were some of the top lines for you as a national outlook looking at the data?
We've got most of our capital cities still with record high rents, you know, apart from obviously Melbourne house rents, and I think it's for Hobart. But overall competition for rentals is still quite strong. But I think affordability is increasingly capping how far and how fast rents can rise. We have to remember that Australia is still operating in the landlord's market, which means vacancy rates are below 2% across every single capital city. And I think we're now in the dynamics that a low vacancy rate doesn't necessarily translate into rapidly rising rents. And that is the affordability ceiling limiting the pace of rental price growth. You know, when you've got markets like Adelaide and Perth that have seen stabilization and a structural slowdown, but that is occurring at a time where they've got Perth's got a 0.5 vacancy rate and Adelaide's got a 0.6 vacancy rate. So I do think that an affordability ceiling now is really playing out across our rental markets, and that is slowing down the pace of rental price growth.
And would that apply to both sort of houses and units more broadly?
Yeah, look, I think so. And look, one of the other things around an affordability ceiling is we've got many capital cities actually seeing units outperform houses in terms of rental price growth. It tells us a couple of things, you know, where rental demand is, because we know that units are concentrated in those inner city suburbs. So, you know, this is probably reflecting, you know, the start of the university year and where kind of demand is being directed. But I also think it says a lot about affordability, where the behavioural dynamics of a renter change when they are unable to meet or find something within their budget. So they shift. They shift and they compromise on space, they compromise on location, or they go into a house share.